Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Today we're pleased to be talking about your pets. We're joined by Dr. Carol Osborne, who's a practicing integrative veterinarian and nationally recognized leader, speaker, educator, and advocate in the field of functional medicine. She's the founder and director of Chagrin Falls Veterinary Center and Pet Clinic and an Emmy-nominated television journalist. Her first two books, Naturally Healthy Dogs and Naturally Healthy Cats, hit the international bestseller list. And she's a regular contributor to several television shows and networks, including Fox and Friends, Today Show, Discovery's Animal Planet, and Good Day LA. So Dr. Osborne, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
I should mention you have a podcast as well, so pretty busy. Still practicing medicine there?
Yes, sir. Every day just helping little dogs and cats enjoy a healthier, happier life.
So a little bit more about Dr. Osborne. Is board certified in anti-aging medicine and developed the patented PAWS, Pet Anti-Aging Wellness System for dogs and cats. That's where I'd like to start, Dr. Osborne, Pet Anti-Aging Wellness System. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Anti-aging or longevity medicine is basically what that means is that we try to optimize the pet's health using holistic natural therapies along with traditional treatments when needed so that they can enjoy the longest, happiest, healthiest life possible. It goes into what we call functional medicine, or instead of just trying to cover up and mask the signs and symptoms, we try to get down to the root cause. So once we can identify that, then we can eliminate the problem, you know, moving forward. So you're not, you know, treating the situation chronically, if you will.
By the way, what sorts of animals do you treat there? I imagine a lot of dogs and cats. Are there other animals that you treat?
Yeah, primarily dogs and cats.
Yeah, that's what people have, I guess. Yeah. mostly for their companions. Let's talk, I guess, next about extreme temperatures. Here in Utah, it's just brutal heat wave. I don't know where you are as well. But for your dogs and cats, people's dogs and cats, how to keep them cool?
You know, Tom, that's another great point. Just for the record, I'm in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, about 30 minutes east of Cleveland, and it has been very hot and very humid this summer. Sometimes people don't realize that, unlike you and I, dogs and cats do not sweat. The way that they lose heat is by open mouth panting. Now, cats are pretty slick and pretty independent, but dogs seem to be the primary victims of elevated temperatures. So just, you know, in general, take your dog out for a walk early in the morning, maybe before the sun rises, and then again in the evening after the sun sets. During the day, nothing could be better than a cool, air-conditioned environment. When you are walking your pets, remember they should be walking 4 to 6 feet ahead of you. They need to have, you know, water at all times. And if you have a Frenchie, or, you know, a dog with a pushed-in face, Shih Tzus, Lhasa Apso, Bulldogs, Boxers, etc., their respiratory system is compromised just by virtue of breeding. So they're subject to overheating and heat stroke even more quickly than other breeds would be. And whatever you do, don't leave your pet in a parked car. If you're running errands, please leave your pet at home. If it's 70 outside, inside that car, within less than 10 minutes, it can be over 90 degrees.
You said, and I think this resonates with people, you said cats tend to take care of themselves. But I guess if you own a cat, you kind of resonate with that.
They do. Cats are pretty slick and they're pretty independent. So, again, most people are taking their cats out for a walk and they're not going to the beach or the swimming pool, you know, if you will, with a cat. But with dogs, a lot of people take their dogs to the park and the lake and the beach, et cetera. So that's the situation where you kind of want to be on your toes, you know. If you're going to the beach, salt water is not an acceptable substitute for drinking water. if you're going to a pool, remember, not all dogs can swim. So you might want to get your dog a little life jacket. You can even get doggy swimming lessons. You know, labs and retrievers, hey, they were born to swim. But if you have, you know, boxers and bulldogs or Frenchies, America's most popular canine, those dogs basically sink. So swimming, not a good idea. But, you know, you can go to Kmart or Walmart, for example, and get one of those little kiddie swimming pools. Probably cost you $5 or $6. Put some water in it, and you can have a blast in the backyard, and everybody can stay cool.
Well, I thought every dog could dog paddle, but some of those just sink, I guess.
Some of them do sink.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the opposite. We're sweltering right now, but in just a few months we'll be freezing. So, how to keep your pet warm in those months?
You know, once again, a lot of common sense. I tell my patients, if it's, you know, cold outside and you're putting on a jacket, you know, take a good look at your dog. If you have a Malamute or a Siberian Husky, dogs with big, thick coats that were, you know, bred for the snow, hey, they're going to have a blast. But if you have a short-coated pet or a Mexican hairless with no hair at all, those dogs are going to get just as cold as you and I. So, you know, find them some warm clothes. They've got all kinds of great canine winter fashions. They've got booties, all kinds of things. But it just comes down to basic sense. You know, if you've been outside for 10 minutes and it's very frigid outside, that's probably all you need, is, you know, let the pet do his or her business. Come on back inside where it's warm. Remember that antifreeze radiator leaks, very, very toxic. In fact, life-threatening. And all those things we use to melt ice with, rock salt, et cetera, very irritating to your pet's feet. You know, spritz them off with water, pat them dry. You know, once you come inside, if you have a pet spending lots of time outside, feed them a little extra. That way they'll have extra calories to help burn energy so they can stay warm.
I want to talk a little bit about typhus. You've sent out some word. We've been hearing cases in some areas of the country, flea-borne typhus cases. How can we protect our pets from that?
You know, that's another great point. And although there are three kinds of typhus, this type with the fleas is a rickettsial bacteria carried by the flea. But the flea is usually just a passenger, you know, on a cat, a rat, a possum, you know, if you will. So the key there is, you know, cleanliness, good hygiene, you know, areas, if there are a lot of homeless encampments and things like that, you know, that's very risky territory, because the chance of some flea feces, which are just dried blood, if you will, you know, getting into a scratch or a wound, you know, would be much higher. In fact, last year in California, there was 277 cases, which is a very big jump from about the previous 9 years. Louisiana, Texas, Hawaii, those are hot spots right now for typhus. People that may have typhus will spike a fever, maybe 104 degrees, a fever, you know, with chills. You might get a rash, which would generally start on your abdomen. I believe about 90% of the cases last year in California required hospitalization. In Louisiana, two cases were actually fatal. But a treatment, an antibiotic called doxycycline, generally taken anywhere from a few days to a couple weeks. There is no vaccine, but the key is good hygiene so that you don't end up with typhus.
What is fleas bear other problems as well? What are the best flea control treatments for your pet?
When it comes to dogs and cats, they have over-the-counter flea preventatives, as well as those that are require prescription. Some of them are topical. Revolution and Celerid would be examples. Some of them are chewable, like a monthly chewable NexGard, for example, does a great job for fleas and ticks. But again, talk to your veterinarian. He or she will always be able to tell you the best thing for your pet. And when it comes to cats, be extra careful, because cats are very sensitive to products that we use to eliminate external parasites, which includes fleas. So a product that might be just fine for a dog could be toxic to your cat. And there's a lot of natural remedies with, peppermint and rosemary made into shampoos and dips, as well as things like lemon balm that are in different essential oil preparations, that if you start before the fleas come out, which if you have seasons when it's 60 or 65 degrees outside with regularity, that's usually when it starts. For those of us where we have snow, a little snow or some frost usually eliminates the problem, at least for the winter. But those would be pretty helpful. Remember, fleas in cats, they go for the head and neck. In dogs, they go for the rump and the tail head. If you have a home that is flea-free, you can go to the grocery store, buy yourself a box of Borax. Cost you about $7 in the laundry detergent section. Sprinkle it all over your floors, pound it into your rugs, leave it on a couple of minutes and vacuum it up. That will give you 1 year of natural flea protection within your home. Cost you less than $10. But Tom, they have companies like Flea Busters, and they come out to your home and do the very same thing, but they, charge you $300 or $400.
Tell me more about natural treatments, holistic treatments for pet ailments. What are some other natural remedies that you can suggest?
Well, the reason I mentioned the Borax is because it's important to remember that fleas live in the environment. They only jump on your pet long enough to take a blood meal and then jump back down to the ground, to lay thousands more eggs. So the key in the home is make sure you don't have fleas. And a lot of people can't tell. This is important, too. If a pet is allergic to a flea bite, whether it's a dog or a cat, they're going to itch and itch and itch and get sores, and there you're going to be at the veterinarian. But if a pet is not allergic to a flea bite, they can have all kinds of fleas, but they will not itch, so you will not see any external signs, which makes it kind of tricky. In your home, a good test, put on a pair of white cotton socks, shuffle your feet, back and forth on the floor where your pets spend a large amount of time. If you have hardwood floors, the fleas like to lay eggs in the slats of the hardwood, and they will live, year round. Anyway, shuffle your feet on the floor and then pick up your foot, look at the bottom of your sock. If there's black and brown specks on your sock that look like pepper and you get them wet with a little bit of water, they will turn red because flea feces are nothing more than dried blood. You can also take your dog, put him on a white sheet, get one of those little flea combs and comb the hind end, the rump. If it's a cat, you want to comb the head and neck because those are the two different favorite spots for fleas. And then again, look at that white sheet. And if you see black and brown spots that look like pepper and you get them a little bit wet, they're going to turn red. And so that's going to be evidence that you have fleas in your home. If you don't see fleas on your pet, it doesn't mean that your pet doesn't have fleas because, again, the flea is in the environment. You might see the flea feces, those little black specks, in your pet's skin. If that makes sense.
Yes, definitely.
I will tell you one thing, and I've actually seen it on TV the other day. These Seresto flea collars have literally killed thousands and thousands of pets. They're very, very toxic. They're available for dogs and cats. In fact, even little children that, you know, put their arms around the pet and then sleep with them, some of these little kids have ended up in the hospital with epileptic seizures. That's how strong the chemicals are in these collars. So to your pet-loving listeners, don't buy Seresto flea collars. They're horrible.
You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking today with Dr. Carol Osborne, who is a practicing veterinarian. She's founder and director of the Chagrin Falls Veterinary Center and Pet Clinic and is an Emmy-nominated television journalist, author of a couple selling best-selling books as well. And we are learning, getting some advice on how to keep your pet healthy and happy. We'll have much more following this break. You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams, and we're talking with Dr. Carol Osborne. She is a practicing integrative veterinarian and nationally recognized leader, speaker, educator, advocate in the field of functional medicine. She's founder and director of Chagrin Falls Veterinary Center and Pet Clinic, an Emmy-nominated television journalist, and two books, Naturally Healthy Dogs and Naturally Healthy Cats, have hit the bestseller list. So, Dr. Osborne, I just want to ask you open-ended, what sort of problems do you see most at the clinic with your dogs and cats?
Well, we see all kinds of problems. Again, many of the problems are seasonal. So when it's very hot outside, you know, you're in a peak allergy season, as well as parasites, fleas, ticks and mosquitoes. Not sure what the tick population is like in Utah, but if it is an issue, ticks carry 10 different diseases, many of which are transmissible to you and I. So back here in the East, the ticks have become a huge problem, and there seems to be more and more of them. And don't get me wrong, we still have plenty of fleas. Fleas suck blood, you know, they cause anemia. And certainly they can transmit things like typhus. So the simplest thing to do is get a nice, safe, effective preventative. Make sure your veterinarian approves it so that you don't have to worry about either issue. When it comes to mosquitoes, they can transmit something called heartworm disease, which can make worms grow in your pet's heart and cause heart disease, et cetera. Those are good things to prevent. We talked a little bit about the heat. As far as your pet's foot pads, again, if it's too cold or too hot for you to walk outside barefoot, your pet's feet are no different than yours. So remember that in the summer, artificial turf, sand, grass, and pavement, they can all get very, very hot. Keep an eye on that. Again, they've got all kinds of great booties and a little natural remedy is the tannins from tea. Steep a pot of strong tea, let it cool. Get a little inexpensive paintbrush, from the drugstore. And if you paint your dog's foot pads once a day for 14 days in a row with that solution, the tannins from the tea will naturally toughen up your pet's foot pads to help them resist extremes of heat and cold. In fact, out in your neck of the woods, Tom, when, people are taking their pets out and going rock climbing, et cetera, that's one of the recipes that many, many use so their pet's foot pads remain intact.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's a great idea. I want to talk a bit about pet nutrition. What would you tell us about how what you feed your pet and how to keep them healthy that way?
Nutrition is a huge topic, in many cases, at least with dogs, if you have a healthy dog, not a dog not suffering from, you know, a chronic health disorder, et cetera. You know, home cooking is, it can be a wonderful consideration. You know, lean protein, you know, chicken, turkey, beef, veal, et cetera, a long acting carb, rice, potatoes, pasta, quinoa, oatmeal, and some nice fresh veggies. I always put cruciferous on top, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. But the list is endless, you know, kale, cabbage, on and on and on. One third of each, cook them up any way you like. And your pet will be thrilled to have real food. If your pet is pudgy and needs to drop a couple of pounds, eliminate the carbs, go 50% lean protein and 50% veggies. The top three flavors most dogs enjoy, pasta sauce or tomato sauce, if you will, barbecue sauce, and something called low-sodium tamari. Looks just like soy sauce, but it's called tamari. And again, you can season up the food with that. Remember that your pet decides if he's going to eat based on the smell of the food, unlike you and I, Tom, where we normally decide based on the taste. So you want to season up your pet's food so it smells good, you know, perhaps warm. When it comes to cats, cats are very, very tough. If they find something they like, chances are they're going to stick with it. And home cooking for cats is very tough in the vast majority of the cases because cats are very, very finicky about what they're going to eat.
Yeah, we had you talk about this a little bit beginning of the program. I wonder if you'd expand on this anti-aging in pets. I imagine food would be one of the factors. What, how can we lengthen out the healthy lives of our pets?
Yeah, another great point. First of all, keep your pet at a lean body weight. You know, try to avoid those excess pounds. Make sure, you know, primarily we're talking about dogs here. Make sure your dog gets out at least twice a day for a couple of good walks, 30 to 45 minutes plus. Visit your veterinarian at least once a year. Senior pets age 7 and up every 6 months is a good idea. You know, check a stool sample. Parasites are normally microscopic. Make sure your pet doesn't have parasites. When you can avoid just getting all those vaccines, ask your vet about a titer. Titer is a little blood test we take and send out, and it validates whether an individual has a protective level of internal immunity for rabies, distemper, parvo, hepatitis, et cetera. And that way, you don't have to keep giving that pet all those vaccines. On the other hand, if a titer is not possible, I'm an integrative veterinarian, meaning that I integrate or combine holistic therapies with traditional medicine. So when it comes to vaccines, the vaccines we offer our patients are non-attenuated and mercury-free. In addition, they're dosed holistically, which means that the dose the pet receives is based on his or her weight, age, and lifestyle. So I think that that's an important thing to remember. And because vaccines can cause a pretty significant reaction in certain pets, I think it's a good idea to consider doing one vaccine at one particular visit versus many vaccines all at the same time. That can be hard on a pet. Pesticides, you know, again, try to use the minimal amount of products needed to keep your pet free of, again, fleas, ticks, you know, whatever it might be. So a good, healthy, organic, nutritious diet, keep your pet lean, visit your vet regularly, and when you can avoid, you know, toxic pesticide-type products and too many vaccines, it's definitely a valid consideration.
I'd like to have you talk a little bit about pet behavior. I notice on your podcast you talk about aggressive dogs biting for one, you know, one potential problem. How best to modify your pets' behavior?
Well, in many cases, in my experience, if you have a pretty nice, let's say, dog, and suddenly, you know, you're petting the dog's head or this or that, and you hear a growl or he kind of doesn't seem to be that happy, maybe he has an ear infection. Maybe he's got a bad tooth. So sometimes a change in behavior is a way that a pet says, hey, something isn't right. So any change from normal that persists for more than 24 to 48 hours, pick up the phone and call your vet and talk to him or her about that. If you have a dog, let's say, that's just extremely nasty and aggressive, we do have a board certified professional behavioral experts that, again, ask your vet for a referral. And they've spent many years in school learning just how to deal with these things and how to modify, your pet's behavior. And there are, all kinds of drugs and whatnot out there. But those, in my experience, it's going to take work from mom and dad. And if a medication, is necessary, to be used in conjunction, together. You can't just rely on a drug or, sedate the dog or put him on Prozac, which I unfortunately see more than I would like to. And the other thing is, get your pet out for some serious exercise. A pet that is well exercised usually comes back in the door and they're tired and they're happy and they're going to take a little nap and they might want to chew on a favorite bone. You'd be surprised, how helpful that can be. Most cats are pretty good. If you have a feral cat, a cat that hasn't been handled, et cetera, you're going to have some homework ahead of you. So take a deep breath, patience, love, and consistency go a long way towards bonding with your dog or your cat.
You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking this hour with Dr. Carol Osborne, who is an Emmy-nominated television journalist. She's a practicing integrative veterinarian and board-certified in anti-aging medicine. She is author of a couple of books, best-selling books, Naturally Healthy Cats and Naturally Healthy Dogs. We're talking about how to keep your pet healthy, safe, and happy, and we'll have more following this break. If you just joined us, you're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We're talking with Dr. Carol Osborne, a practicing integrative veterinarian, nationally recognized leader, speaker, educator, and advocate in the field of functional medicine. She's founder and director of Chagrin Falls Veterinary Center and Pet Clinic, and an Emmy-nominated television journalist. She's board-certified in anti-aging medicine and developed and patented PAWS, Pet Anti-Aging Wellness System, for dogs and cats. I want to talk about the beginning of the life cycle, end of the life cycle for your pets. So again, looking at your podcast, you asked the question, should we get a new pet? So talk about your suggestions for when a person or family is at that point. Should we get a new pet? How best to proceed?
I think when you are going to, get a new pet, I think you have to do your homework. You have to take your time and really think about things, maybe even, have a little checklist. What age are you? How many members are in your family? Do you live in the city or the country? Or perhaps you live in an apartment. What about the climate? Is it cold in Alaska? Is it very hot, like in Utah or Florida? What about your neighbors? Do you have neighbors that are, right close to you? Do they have pets? In a multi-person home, does anyone in the home have allergies? Maybe, they might be allergic to a particular pet. So think logically about those things. And then there's cost. When it comes to a dog, the bigger the dog and the more hair he or she has, the more it's going to cost you for food, daily maintenance, veterinary care, and grooming. So I think those are big, important factors for people to consider before they, you know, decide to bring a pet into the family. If you're not sure what to do, you know, you have children, et cetera, remember, you know, you can go to a rescue, you can foster a pet for, you know, a couple days, you know, or a couple weeks. And you can take a child to a, you know, a rescue facility, for example, to let them become acquainted with pets, as well as the responsibilities of owning a pet. And if you do decide on a pet, when to bring that pet home, you know, not on Christmas, not on New Year's, not on someone's birthday. You want to bring that pet home on a day when absolutely nothing is going on, so that when the pet does come home, everybody in the home can focus on one thing, which is that new pet. And remember that pets should be a lifelong commitment. That's why I say, you know, do your homework. Don't buy on impulse, so that the pet you do choose will work out wonderfully for you, you know, and your family. You know, and again, if you're not sure, you know, you could, you know, get a book, read, talk to people before you just run out there and get a pet.
I'd like to move to the other end of the life cycle. It's sure. You know, that the your dog or cat eventually is going to reach the end of their life, and I'm sure you take you know, your people you talk to through that process, and then there's the grieving afterwards. What takes through that end of the life cycle?
I think that the loss of a pet is a very difficult, emotional time for all the members that were involved in the ownership of that pet. So there certainly is a natural grieving process, which can be different for each person. There are online groups where people can chat and console each other. There are many ways that people can deal with the different five stages of grief. As far as having an elderly pet and you're just kind of not sure, you know, pick up the phone, make an appointment, and take that animal, you know, in to see the veterinarian so you can discuss what is the best thing. Is, you know, is there a therapy that can add days, you know, of life, of quality life for your pet? Or do you need to discuss other options? Appetite, in my experience, is a key indicator of how does my pet feel. So if your dog and or your cat isn't eating, the appetite is decreasing, you know, they're losing weight, you want to address something like that pretty quickly, because although there can be a myriad of issues involved, that pet is telling you that he or she is not feeling well and needs your help to correct or ameliorate, you know, the situation.
This is interesting. I see that some of the materials here that you've brought this one up, and I hadn't thought about this. Reducing your pet's carbon paw print. I guess we have a footprint, and your pet has a paw print. How to reduce your pet's carbon paw print?
You know, that's all those things involved with going green. You know, it, as far as you know, the type of bags, biodegradable, you know, to collect the pet feces in. As far as the feeding, you know, you get into the number of carbons, et cetera, you know, from a meat versus a vegetable type diet. And as far as toys and clothes and gear, you know, a lot of these things can be made from things that you may have left over at home, you know, versus going out and purchasing, you know, the plastics and all the various synthetic types of material. So there are many, many ways to go green. And on our informational website, Chagrin Falls Pet Clinic.com, there is almost 2,000 articles that I have written that address, everything you can imagine from A to Z for dogs and cats, for health, diet, longevity, fitness, going green, etc., that anybody can log on to. Chagrin is funny. Chagrin. That's the name of the river that runs through this area. It's an Indian name. So chagrinfallspetclinic.com. All kinds of great information, including the top tips for going green.
That's wonderful. Another one I see in your blog here, and we're just past this, fireworks. But there are other, you know, maybe times, maybe New Year's and other things that are coming up. Dogs and cats have very sensitive ears, right? Much more than ours. They're not going to like fireworks or anything else, sudden sounds. How can we help them with that?
You know, that's a great point. Although fireworks are great for us, they're not so great for your pet. The best place for your dogs and or cats to be on these big holidays is inside your home, where it's quiet, calm, pull the shades down. You can turn on some soft music or put on your pet's favorite YouTube video. If necessary, safe homeopathic remedies like Box Five Flower Rescue Remedy, available, you know, over the counter as well as online. It's a homeopathic combination of flowers. You can put a few drops in the food, the water, directly in your pet's mouth, or you can rub a few drops on the inner hairless area of your dog and or cat's ears. Those are actually acupressure points. And it's kind of like having a little glass of wine. It just kind of takes the edge off. So make them a nice little safe haven at home, you know, a cozy little spot, some of their favorite chew toys. Leave them at home, and when you come back from the fireworks, they'll still be safe and sound.
That's great. Just a couple more topics here. We're running out of time a bit here, but we talked about keeping your dog and cat, especially your dogs, from getting heat stroke, keeping them away from that in these extreme heats. But what if your dog especially seems to be suffering from heat stroke? What can you do?
Again, you know, the mouth is open, the tongue is hanging out. They're probably panting, maybe getting weak, lethargic, wobbly. Immediately bring the pet inside, hopefully where it is air conditioned. You can turn on the bathtub, give them a cool bath. Don't forget to put that cool water over their head. You can offer them something cool to drink. You know, water, juice, something like that. If you have your little first aid kit handy, remember a dog's normal rectal temperature, anywhere from 100 to 103.5, approaching 104 is fine. Temperatures in excess of 104 are very bad. You need to pick up the phone, call your veterinarian, probably bring the pet in. Temperatures in excess of 105 are life-threatening. So it's that's a very big deal. And those temperatures are in degrees Fahrenheit, so that everybody understands that. And keep a little pet first aid kit on hand, because no one plans for an emergency, but when one happens, it's a great idea to be prepared.
A final topic, summertime's time to travel. You might want to take your pet. Give us some tips on how best to do that.
Again, if you're traveling with your pet, which millions of Americans do every year, Labor Day is coming up. That's going to be a big travel holiday. First of all, visit your pet. Make sure that your pet is healthy and able to withstand traveling. Get a copy of your pet's records, just so that you have them. Be sure to bring whatever medications your pet might need. As far as your destination, contact your destination in advance to make sure that your pet is welcome wherever it is that you decide to go. And whether you're traveling by car, a train, boat, or plane, again, you know, with the airlines, you're going to have a, you know, health certificate within 30 days. All these different venues have different requirements. So if it's anything other than a car, you know, call ahead and cover the bases. If it's in your car, you know, the records, a copy of medications, a supply of normal food, whether you're going to use a crate or a pet safety belt, or you have an area in the back of your vehicle that is pet safe. Again, that's a smart decision. Remember, you're going to have to stop every few hours so your pet can get out, take a little potty break. Everybody can stretch their legs. So in general, if you're smart, you do your homework, you're going to have a wonderful time traveling with your pet. And if you have a pet that gets car sick, that might get a little bit more tricky. You know, there's things we can do to, you know, help the tummy not be subject to the motion sickness. But hopefully that will not be an issue, especially if you're traveling by car.
Well, thank you so much. We've been talking with Dr. Carol Osborne, who's a practicing integrative veterinarian, founder and director of Chagrin Falls Veterinary Center and Pet Clinic, Emmy-nominated television journalist, author of a couple of best-selling books, Naturally Healthy Dogs, Naturally Healthy Cats. You can find a lot of information and her blog at chagrinfallspetclinic.com, and you can find her podcast out there as well. Dr. Osborne, thank you so much.
Well, Tom, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And your pet-loving listeners can call us toll-free. We're happy to talk to them, answer questions. Our toll-free phone is 855-DR-CAROL, which is 855-372-2765.
All right. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And I'd love to join you anytime to talk pets.
Okay. All right. Very good. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Access Utah.